really focus on breathing well. I think a lot of people just take that for granted, but that's one of the things we do work a lot with, is teaching people how to breathe with their diaphragm.
Welcome to the Expanded Podcast with your host, Lacey Phillips. As a leading manifestation advisor with a process that's, well, radically different from the old New Age model, mine is rooted in psychology, neuroscience, and my energetic gifts. I created this podcast to help you expand your subconscious limiting beliefs about the potential of deserving the manifestations you're calling in. Therefore, you're tuning into this podcast series to show your subconscious that anything you desire is possible. And by pressing play, you've already started the process of manifesting it. If you enjoy this episode, please leave us our review, comment, and share it with your fellow manifestor that's struggling or could really benefit from the information that you're about to learn. Well, isn't today such an auspicious day? Summer solstice. I love summer solstice. I feel like, you know, summer really kicks off up here, Northern Hemisphere. I'm up at the retreat house about late April for me. And this year has been really exciting and special because the snow melt up from Yosemite, since we're up here, because it was such a big winter, we're still waiting and waiting for the river to be ready up here, the Merced River, which everybody just like lives and dies by. It's the natural, beautiful, mineral-rich water to swim in every day, and you get all of the incredible benefits from the sun. If you haven't heard the episode of Nadine Artemis, please go back to that to understand why it's so important to be in the sun every day. So that's kind of what we're waiting for here, and I'm kicking off today celebrating nature and the sun and everything that the sun brings this season, like stone fruit and the wonderful summer squash and all of the melons. I'm really enjoying eating a lot of that raw fruit, smoothies, making steamed veggies. So I'm taking a little picnic on a nature walk to my watering hole to really just sit with nature and be so grateful for today. And why today is so special, I think, in manifestation, it really marks the half of the year based on modern society. We came in so strong at the beginning of last year, having just come off this really big time to all do the formula magnetism together. And I think it's really important to take today to look at it as your second wind of the year. So if you feel like you haven't really gotten your bearings or you've seen wonderful things show up in the beginning of the year, today is your time to really restart that process. So for many of you just joining us, and for the old school crew who maybe hasn't quite engaged in any of the workshops yet, but you've been curious, we are kicking off a special for solstice. So you will use the code SOLSTICE, and that's in all caps, for 30% off of any of the a la carte workshops. So you can kind of get your feet wet. That goes for formula magnetism, which is how you even start this process to learn how to manifest. And from there, you'll see all of the other workshops that allow you to work through money, partnership, the most important things to create space in your subconscious, or working through reparent and shadow. So that's our gift to you today. Tune into the link below. It'll give the expiration for how long that's available. And this is your second wind. Otherwise, what's new with me? Inspections are going super well on this house in Topanga that Max and I have manifested together. So I'm actually really, really excited about that. I love the feeling of wanting to rush back to LA, which I haven't felt in a very long time. In fact, I felt like allergic to LA and wanting to stay up here constantly. So that's really exciting. We're going to try to pretty much land and rent in Topanga until it closes and then move right in And we'll be doing a huge overhaul remodel on that as well. So I'm just kind of getting myself geared back up for that. I feel like I have trauma from going through so much with this property up here. But I'm really excited to spend a summer by the beach, really in nature, in a medicinal space, finally in LA where I can be in homeostasis. Otherwise, the retreat house is so close to being done. So close. So we're getting ready to fully launch it. Look out for that. There will be some secret and fun stuff to engage in, to sign up for, stuff we're sending out. So if you're not a part of our newsletter, you're going to want to be, because that's where we're going to alert you first, give you the first on the waiting list, also send out some practices of how you can create your own version of this at home. So check that out in the link below. And otherwise, that brings me to today's guest, Dr. Danny, which is Danielle Olson. I think so many people are going to really enjoy today's episode. You'll find it incredibly expanding if you're into your extrasensory gifts, if you're from the Midwest, if you're in a profession where you are, it's a very small profession. So Dr. Danny, she's one of, I forget the number she says in this, but one of very, very few who are in craniopathy. She also practices, she's a practicing chiropractor, she practices Reiki and Qigong, but I think the craniopathy as well as her crazy extrasensory gifts are what are going to light you up about this episode, from angels communicating with her to healing her own brain tumor just through the power of intention, learning how powerful she is that way. Also, the fact that she moved to LA on a ping, she super manifested it. This particular woman is just going to make you smile, make you understand how strong and capable you are. And not only that, I'm sure you'll be pretty stoked to potentially reach out and work with her after this episode, as I have had the opportunity to do. So is Lila. You'll hear some fun tidbits about that in the episode. And for anybody who is interested, she's been generous enough to offer you a free energetic detoxification with a purchase of a session. You'll use the code MAGNETIC at checkout, and the link is below. Otherwise, enjoy this really sweet, engaging, and I like to say the word capable. That's what I get out of this. After speaking with her, I feel so utterly capable. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the Expanded Podcast. Today we're here with somebody very magical. I had the opportunity, the whole team and I had the opportunity to go to what's known as the Human Garage. Am I saying it correctly? Yes.
Yep, sure.
And we had multiple treatments done, and I had such a profound experience with you, who is Danielle Olson is your name, but you go by Dr. Danny.
I do, yeah.
And you do, an array of things, and you have a lot of gifts, but it's traditionally called, what is it, craniopathy?
Craniopathy.
Good, can you
good memory.
Thank you.
Yeah, I combine a combination of craniopathy, chiropractic, Reiki, and Qigong.
Amazing.
And not a lot of people know about craniopathy. It's basically consisting of making sure that the nine bones of the skull are all moving properly with one another. And it's a complicated system because it's how the brain gets the oxygenated fluid around the brain cells, but also how it removes waste products. And so I specialize in people with head injuries, or one of the things I'm noticing a lot is C-section babies.
Which you noticed in me was huge.
I did. And so if these bones aren't moving properly, a lot of times people have issues with like depression or frustration, anxiety, even eating disorders or addictions and things like that.
And how does it differ from cranial sacral?
It's working directly with neurology in the brain. So if I see somebody that may have, say, a right frontal injury, they may have an eating disorder. And so I'll know how to tap into that area of the brain and correct the movement of how that bone attaches to the strut fiber that attaches to the brain. It's complicated.
And there are only how many of you in the world?
About 300.
Wow. And how about in the States?
Oh boy, I don't even know.
Wow, it's crazy. Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. Well, then as well, you are just sort of starting to let out your other gifts. I mean, I think you've been doing it in private practice, but you're becoming a little bit more vocal. Coming from Minnesota,
right.
I assume that it wasn't widely spoken about being able to see things like the chakras and energy moving through a body. Tell us about that.
I'm coming out, gang.
Here she comes.
Yeah, it's not something that's talked about a lot, but over the years I've developed these sensitivities where I actually see energy when I'm working with people. I can see where there's blockages of energy. And like even, for instance, yesterday I was working on a woman that had come from out of town. And I was so pleased because she came to me, not as a chiropractor, she came to me for spiritual help.
Amazing. So it's happening.
I know, and I was just like, I'm so excited to finally getting to this point where, you know, we're talking about this out live with people.
Yeah.
And as I was holding her head, I could see that she just didn't, like, her lights weren't lit up. Mm-hmm. Like, almost like she, like, her inside of her body was brown, like when you mix paint together.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat there for a while because I was trying to figure out, like, what was so different about her. And then I realized none of her chakras were on.
Mm.
And so I use a pendulum to see how they're working. I love that your people can understand.
Oh, absolutely.
So I used a pendulum to evaluate each of them. None of them were on.
That was the same for Lila too, right? Lila, all of hers were off.
Yep.
Lila was dead inside.
It was there. I didn't see. That's true. Yeah, you were the wrong direction.
Yeah.
Her chi was flowing the wrong way. So that's one of the nice things about combining a whole bunch of different modalities, you know, using Reiki for the energy healing and Qigong for the other energy type of healing. But I use Qigong to gather chi and really focus it and then place it into that chakra. And then we check it afterwards to see if the pendulum actually does do its spinning like it should.
It's correct movement.
Yeah.
Wow. And so with her, then what? Which one was blocked, or were all of them?
All of them.
Wow.
Yeah. And she's been so confused about her life because she just said she can't figure out why she's here. And I thought this poor thing, she hasn't been plugged in.
Oh, yeah, at all. Yeah. Totally closed off. Wow. She's going to have a Kundalini upgrade.
I know.
Did you have one coming out here? You talked about how you became even more heightened.
Oh, yeah. It's been quite a trip to come out here. I remember when I left Minnesota, I mean, I left very, very quickly and kind of gave everything away. And I was driving out in my pickup truck with my twin sister and my daughters and my two dogs. And we got to the Mojave Desert. And I was thinking, oh, my gosh, what have I done? I knew I was supposed to move to L.A., but I didn't know why. And we pulled up to this gas station. And I heard this voice that said, you've listened well. Pay attention to the music in the convenience store.
Wow.
Because I was right at that point where I was like, oh, maybe we should turn around.
Yeah, this is probably a bad idea, yeah.
And I went into the gas station, and Moving Me Down the Highway was playing.
I have the chills.
Moving ahead so life don't pass me by. And I started to laugh. I'm like, okay, I get it. Thanks. Yeah. You know, thank you for giving me that message. And the next song was Dream On by Aerosmith.
Oh, I love it.
And I knew
it.
Everything was going to be okay.
Yeah. Let's go back to, what was your cultural upbringing like?
I was raised in a small town in Minnesota by a Swedish family.
Really?
And I loved being outside. I always felt like I was a little bit different than the other kids in my family. I'm the youngest of six.
Wow.
But I have an identical twin sister.
That already is very unicorn and special. Does she have gifts as well?
She's special. Love you, Dawn. Not spiritual ones.
Okay.
She's very talented and very talented at writing and very clever, very artistic. I think one of the things that had happened to me, which I think kind of explains why I felt different, and I did not know this until I was in a craniosacral session, and I was laying there. This was around the time when I had my brain tumor.
Mm-hmm.
We'll probably get into that.
We have to get into that, yeah.
But as I was laying on her table, I saw this sparkling image, like when sun hits the water.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I felt really cold, and I felt a really strong pull underneath my chin, and saw the bright light, like went down the tunnel, and I had a memory of being in water.
And drowning.
I did. And nobody ever told me that.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I called my mom afterwards, and I said, I swear I had this feeling like I may have drowned, maybe when I was really, really young, because I didn't have any memory of it, but somewhere in my subconscious I did. And she said, "Oh my gosh, how did you know that?" And I said, "So I did."
You're like, "How have you never told me?"
Six kids.
I know, it's so true. That's why you have them all, right? It's like, okay. Yeah, survival of the fittest. Yeah. That one couldn't swim. No?
Well, it turns out I was not quite 2 years old, and I was wearing a snowsuit, and my brother found me face down in Lake Washington at my grandparents' resort. And he grabbed me by the hood of my snowsuit and pulled me out of the water. Well, that was the feeling that I had underneath my chin, that very strong force. And I guess I started to breathe right away. They didn't think it was that big of a deal. They got my wet clothes off and wrapped me in a blanket and took me home and gave me a bath.
Died.
Yeah. And so I think maybe that's where things may have started, made me feel a little bit different than everybody else. Because I always felt really connected to energy. And then...
You're a Taurus, if I remember.
I'm a Gemini.
Gemini. Okay. That makes sense, too.
Yeah.
Well, also, most people report once they do have some sort of interaction with the other side, they come back and their gifts are far stronger.
Oh, yeah. And it happened a second time when I was 15.
Tell us about that.
Right. So when I was 15, I was living in Grand Marais, where I grew up, and I was in a river, and the water was pretty high, and the undertow pulled me under, and it kept swirling me around, and the thing that I thought was so interesting is I saw the light, that bright light, and it's not earthly type of light, it's so pure. And the funny thing is, I remember thinking, I wonder if this is what it felt like when Curtis died. This was a boy in my high school that died the year before me, and he was pulled under by a waterfall and drowned. And I wasn't even scared. I was so peaceful and just like, ooh, this is cool. I'm going around in a circle. And then all of a sudden I got thrown out of the water, and I came up to the surface, and my mom was sitting there, and I'm like, I just about drowned. She was like, no, you didn't. I'm like, oh.
I love that they don't take this seriously at all.
Number six,
She's fine. Totally.
You're fine. And so I guess I never really thought about it. And it was weird. I went back up to a class reunion, and I was standing on the bridge looking down at that spot that I had been pulled under water. And I'd put my hands up, you know, to do a blessing and a show of gratitude for being given my life. And my twin's like, what are you doing? And I said, I'm just being very thankful for not drowning there. And she's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, oh, didn't I tell you? She had been working that day, so it was just my mom and I together. And I'm like, oh, I guess I kind of forgot that detail.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Midwesterners, so jolly and kind. You know, that time I sort of almost drowned.
It was fine.
Whatever.
Mom said it was fine.
Well, tell us about the tumor as well, because I assume that must have played into the gifts, too, pressing it.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You know, I'm so grateful to have the doctorate that I have, because I'm trained to look at the body very differently than most doctors. And so we look at it from the emotional aspects and chemical and spiritual and physical. And when I was 31, I started to realize that I was losing my vision, and I was losing my peripheral vision. And then I had a really bad headache. I never had headaches before. And I actually thought, I was married at the time, I actually thought my husband may have shot me, because it was that strong.
Wow.
And I fell out of bed, and I just laid there holding my head like, oh my God, what is going on? Then I realized all these hormonal changes started to happen, and I stopped menstruating.
At 31.
At 31. And I thought, well, maybe it's because I'm stressed out. You know, I had a toddler. I just started my first practice. We had been building out our practice, so I thought it was stress related. And then once I started putting all the signs together, it's like, oh, I know what's going on. I have a tumor. I know what type it is. And the type that I had comes back after surgery about 80% of the time. And so I thought, okay, I understand the body can create something that can certainly destroy it. So I wanted to figure out why I had it. And it's interesting how you run into people that you don't realize at the time when you meet them that you're going to need to work with them mm-hmm. later on. And I had met a cranial sacral therapist many months earlier, and I had kept her card, and I thought, I think I just need to go someplace quiet and be with somebody that does something with heads. I didn't understand what she did, but drove to her place. And that first session that I had with her was when I remembered the drowning as a wow. toddler. And the second time I went back to her was the following week. And I had gotten to the point where my vision was about the size of maybe like a paper towel tube. And it was, you know, driving in Minnesota
that
in
funnel.
January.
Oh, God.
Driving through a tunnel. It was terrifying. And I remember thinking the whole time I was driving, besides focus, like yeah. what I can, I will not be able to drive tomorrow because my vision was going so fast. And so the whole time I was driving, my intention was, today's the day.
Oh,
it is
wow.
going to heal. And so I got there and I was like, all right, you ready? Today's the day. I am ready to do this. I know I can do it. And she's like, oh, okay. And I laid there on her table. And it's kind of a long story, but I'll try to go quickly. I saw this image developing on the one side of me of a cliff. Mm-hmm. So I told her about it because I'd never had anything like that happen before. And so she helped me talk through it, like describe it. And as I described it and focused on it, I could see that there was where areas to put my hands and my feet and climb. So I visualized climbing it, and I got almost to the top, and I was grabbed from behind under my armpits by somebody.
Mm.
They put me up the top of the cliff, and there was a man there.
Mm.
And it had to have been like an angel or a guide. The love that was coming from this person was not human. And I remember reaching my arms around, because I could feel they were within arm reach. I wrapped my arms around him and I said, I need help. Why do I have this?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you need to look within.
Mm.
Okay. So that's the first time I started getting messages, and I get them very clear in one spot in my head.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very pure words that come to me. It's not like a human vibrational tone. It's very clear knowing, which is why I'm in LA, because I got the message.
Totally.
But I asked him if I was going to be successful going the course of what I did. I fasted for 10 days. I ate a vegetarian diet. I believed I could do it,
mm-hmm.
which was
the biggest
huge,
part. Yeah.
Huge. And he said, yes, you will be successful. And then I said, how's my dad? And he disappeared. And I was disappointed, and I was like,
come back, I need you.
I really yeah. actually wanted to know that, because
yeah.
I figured he was from the other side, because like I said, he just didn't seem human. And so I'm talking to this cranial sacral therapist about it. I'm like, is this a normal
experience
appointment
yeah.
for people? I mean, that was pretty trippy.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, this is your experience.
Yeah.
So just relax and let it flow. And all of a sudden, I realized the angel was back, and they were on the other side of the room, and they had my father with them, and they were supporting his elbow and his wrist, like they were presenting him to me. You asked about him. Here he is.
Wow.
And I remember, I started crying because I was just like, oh my God, they brought my dad to me.
Wow.
This is crazy. So I'm telling dad, you know, you've got a granddaughter.
Yeah.
I graduated from chiropractic school. He was the one that introduced me into chiropractic. He always knew I was fascinated with spinal cord injuries. And I just told him all these things. You know, I have an office now, and dad, I've got this tumor, and I'm so afraid, and then this angel wants me to look within, and I don't know what that means, and mm-hmm. I just don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm proud of you, baby.
Oh.
And, you know, thanks, dad. Kind of calmed down. And I said, you know, I feel so bad I didn't see you before you died. I was 26 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to see the process, so I went on a vacation to Mexico.
Uh-huh.
And he died while I was there.
Oh.
And as soon as I realized that I didn't forgive myself, that's when I was like, oh my gosh, I manifested this. Again, going back to my doctorate,
yeah,
we were trained that bodies can emotionally manifest disease.
Yeah, absolutely.
I manifested this thing, this huge thing that was taken away my vision because I didn't forgive myself. And as soon as I acknowledged that, this hand came through the ceiling and pushed something into the top of my head, right into the tumor, and this light came through my whole body, It was so beautiful. And I just remember laying there with my eyes closed going, I think I'm being healed.
Wow.
It was so trippy and so cool. And it happened for several minutes, just like this very soft bathing of this really intense, beautiful light through my whole body. And then it stopped. And I laid there for a while because I didn't want to be disappointed. And finally opened my eyes and my vision was perfect. And I have no scar tissue.
Wow.
I got pregnant with my youngest daughter after that.
Wow. What did your husband think at the time when you told him about all this?
He never really talked about much. That's one of the things that was kind of surprising to me, was that I've learned now when somebody has illness that it's okay to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people thought I was crazy to not go in and have it taken out. Mm-hmm. But strong-willed Gemini.
Yeah, you got it. Totally. No,
this is my journey. I'm going to figure it out. And I've always been like that.
Mm-hmm.
So...
incredible. And so then how did you, I think you might have even told me a little bit during session, how did you have the intrigue to go into craniopathy?
Oh, just because of having my experience. Mm-hmm. And I started reading a little bit about craniosacral, and I was like, well, I know neurology. And mm-hmm. then the group that I belonged to, the research group, I always loved the people that were studying craniopathy, and it was just so fascinating to me. And then I started realizing as I was working with people that all these abilities to like see colors and see energy were happening. And I knew what that healing light force felt like.
Mm-hmm.
And so I could generate it into people. And I remember one time, a woman came in with a very large, like grapefruit size ovarian tumor.
Yeah.
And she had heard about me because people in Minnesota.
Oh, I'm sure they're like, go to that one. Yeah. She seems to know what's going on.
Yeah, it was hard to explain. But I remember putting my hands on her tumor. She was going to a regular chiropractor, but she had heard about me and wanted to see if I could help her. And I remember holding my hands over her tumor, and I visualized, I didn't even tell her this either, I visualized it breaking up and exiting her vaginally.
Wow. Yeah, sure.
Why can't that happen?
Yeah, discharge.
And it did, an hour and a half after she left. And she had come back a couple weeks later, and she's like, you've got to write a book and tell people that things like this are possible.
Wow.
Like, okay, so I do have a book that I'm...
Working. Thank God.
Yeah, I just got to get somebody to light a fire under me and get it done.
The process is awful. It's hard. It's long.
I belong to this spiritual mentoring mastermind group. And the last meeting we had, I'm like, you guys, you got to hold me to
this.
Yeah.
Give me like some deadlines.
Somebody push me. And they're like, what are you afraid of? I'm like, I don't think I'm afraid.
I'm lazy is mine.
Maybe I don't know. I'm not exactly sure. Maybe I'm a little bit nervous about putting it in writing.
Yeah.
Who knows, world?
It'll work itself out.
It will.
You'll have an angel that comes and hits you upside the head.
No, I hope not. A gentle, loving pat.
What are their signs, your daughters?
Gemini and Leo.
Oh, strong family. What was your poor husband?
Taurus.
Oh, God. All of that. What a, like, intense family, too.
Yep.
Wow. And what do your daughters do?
They now live in the same apartment complex as I do.
Okay.
And
wow.
Because they live now on the west side, where the fun is, it's also where the rent is a lot more expensive.
Yes.
So now they work for Lyft and WEG and they nanny.
Good for them.
Yeah, so if anybody needs good nannies,
wow.
They're awesome. They're awesome.
And do they miss Minnesota?
Not really. They're going back. They miss their friends.
Yeah.
But
that's beautiful.
They love living out here. They're California babes.
And who has been your biggest expander? Who's shown you where you've seen to believe everything you want is possible?
My mom.
Really? What was her journey? Was she...
I don't know. You know, she was a stay-at-home mom with six kids in 10 years. And I just remember her always being the one that kind of did everything.
Mm.
My dad worked at 3M to make the money to support a family of eight.
Mm-hmm.
But she was the one that was out, you know, reshingling the house and, you know, carrying boulders. And she even, she started a real estate company up in northern Minnesota, and she would put on her Red Wing boots and her little vest and throw a canoe up on her shoulders and hike out into the woods and sell real estate.
Oh my gosh.
You know, I look at that. Was about my age when she started that. And I always thought she was so old. And I'm like, I am young. You
know? Yeah.
But I remember her just, you know, lugging that canoe. She was like, okay, so this apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Yeah.
So she kept saying she wanted a canoe. I want a canoe. I want a canoe. And we're all like, yeah, you don't need a canoe.
Yeah.
And so she went out and she bought three.
I love that. Yep. I'm so like that too. Yep. I'm like, I'll show everybody.
Yeah. I don't want one. I want three.
Yeah.
And so now she's my roommate.
I love that. So she wanted to come out.
She did, but she never told me that.
Okay.
So when I said, you know, this is what I want to do, and she's like, you know, I've always wanted to live on the West Coast. I'm like, why didn't you tell me? And she's like, I don't know. I just never thought you would.
Oh. And what's her sign?
What is she? October 17th.
She's a Libra?
Libra.
Yeah, that makes sense. And what was your dad?
December 4th.
So that's Saggy. Look at you guys, all the fire and air. Oh, I love it. Wow. And so for you, what's been your most like profound transformational story of working with a patient? I mean, you've told some good ones so far.
The most powerful?
Ooh.
Oh, God, there's so many. I'll tell you the one that I think was probably the most pivotal to make sure that I took care of myself.
Mm-hmm.
I had driven to a nursing home to take care of a friend of mine. Her mom had ALS, and it was weird because she had it for like 30 years. I mean, that just doesn't happen.
Wow. So managed that long? Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
But she had pneumonia, and my friend had called me and said, wow, you know, I've been in the hospital all week with my mom. You know, pneumonia is usually what takes the life of people with ALS. And she goes, do you have anything you could do for that? And I'm like, oh, yeah, there's acupressure points, mm-hmm. and there's Reiki, and there's belief.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was driving to her nursing home, I saw three hawks.
Beautiful.
Which is really weird. So I was in the Twin Cities area of Minnesota, and hawks in the city just really surprised me. But I know the symbols of hawks mean there's
freedom, right?
Freedom and blessings, really great things to come. And so I went there, you know, supercharged, like, oh,
yeah,
bring it on. You know, I'm ready. And I was doing this hold on her head. You can call it Reiki. You can call it prayer. You can call it whatever you want. But I kept visualizing the pneumonia leaving her. Uh-huh. And I kept thinking in my head, you know, get this out of her, get this out of her, get this out of her. And a nurse walked in, surprised me. I kind of took my hands off her head and took a big breath in. And I was like, oh my gosh, she scared me. I was so in the zone. And then when she left, I went back to what I was doing. And all of a sudden, Sandra starts, I can breathe so much better.
Wow.
And I'm like, that's awesome. You know, yay.
Yeah.
So, I think we're done. And I hugged her goodbye, which I remember was really, it was so hard to hug somebody that can't move.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, her energy was just so beautiful. And I left and that night, you know, went on a normal day, woke up at 1:30 in the morning and felt like something had come up out of my throat, like about the size of a baked potato. And I remember I was patting the sheets because I was like, oh my God, I feel like I just threw up something. And there was nothing there, and my heart was racing. And
yeah.
I remember I got up and I walked around. I'm like, what in the world was that? That was so strange. But I finally got myself settled down, went back to bed, woke up in the morning, could not talk.
Whoa.
And I felt like this perfectly burned line of heat all the way down my throat. Physically felt fine, just mm-hmm. a lot of pain and couldn't talk. So I texted my mom, who was my office manager at the time, and I said, I have four new clients today. I can't talk, but I feel fine. You want to clean the basement?
Yeah.
So she came over and she rescheduled everybody. But for 3 days, I had that feeling, not thinking anything when my friend had texted me that morning and said, whatever you did worked. my mom doesn't have pneumonia anymore. They went to aspirate her lungs. I didn't realize it until mm-hmm. 3 days later. And I was talking to an Oriental medical doctor who was a client of mine. And he's like, so you got laryngitis? Like, anything unusual happen lately? I'm like, oh, yeah, I was working on this woman with ALS. And he's like, oh, my gosh. Because, you know, in Chinese medicine, yeah. pneumonia is one of the hottest diseases.
Totally. I love that you say hottest, like
yeah.
a trend.
Yeah. Not like a trend.
I know what you mean.
Heat index. Yeah. And he said, I bet your throat feels burned. Mm. And I said, it absolutely feels charred. A perfect line. It almost reminded me like if somebody took a metal coat hanger mm-hmm. and got it bright red and touched it against my throat. I mean, it was
branded. Yeah.
It was that specific of a line. But he told me to make cardamom tea and to cool the tissues down. And then I was fine. Within like half an hour after drinking that, the pain was gone. But I remember thinking, I need to really protect myself.
Yeah.
So that things don't happen like this. Because I'm like, this is where we're going now.
Well, what is your protection now when you're working with people? Because I can't find anything that does work for me being so empathic. Like, give me a bubble, visualize a bubble. None of it. None of
it.
Doesn't work. All sorts of stuff I've tried.
Mine, I just say, I know that it's not going to affect me.
Oh, so that's, and your belief is so expanded because of how much you've self-healed and healed others.
Oh, yeah. I used to try the bubble thing. I used to try the lavender clove.
Yes.
I tried all those things. And I just said, no, I know that I will not be affected.
That's incredible. Yeah. So we have, you know, a woman on our team that's third generation Christian Scientist. Mm-hmm. And I love picking her brain. I sit there and I'm like, tell me the, like, everything you grew up with, because there's so, I mean, most people in her community have never been to a doctor, never had an illness. Mm-hmm. I mean, nothing. She doesn't have any issues. And it's this, hold a thought, have a belief, you know, do a clearing.
Right.
And it shows the power that we have that most of us can't tap into because we've been, you know, programmed mm-hmm. the other way, that it's impossible. It can't. So our stretch of belief, that's why we call things expanded and manifestation. Yeah. You have to see to believe enough times to then it's like this. And right. for you, you've had that multiple, that to you now, it's not even a question, not a question.
Nope.
And so that's something that you really must include in your book for health,
right.
like how you know, and I just watched that documentary Healing.
Oh, isn't that great? I watched it twice in one day.
And what about you, are there any tips you could give to the person at home right now who, you know, may be very far away from your perspective of craniopathy or any of the modalities you do? Like, one thing they could do a day that could be really, really profound for them.
Really focus on breathing well.
Hmm.
I think a lot of people just take that for granted. But that's one of the things we do work a lot with, is teaching people how to breathe with their diaphragm.
I'm doing it now. I hold my breath. I have such shallow breathing.
I know, and it makes people anxious.
The whole body gets tensed. Yeah. The nervous system tenses up. So that's it's a beautiful tip. Do you have any directions on how you tell people to breathe from the diaphragm?
We actually are making videos that we'll be putting up on our website.
Excellent.
About that.
Excellent.
Because sometimes it's better to have it.
I'm an audio and visual learner well. I learn in seconds what I would read for hours.
Yeah.
So I think that's wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Dr. for having Jenny. Me.
Yes, thank you for your great stories. And I can't wait to come and see you again.
I can't wait to see you too.
And thank you for everybody listening. Have a wonderful weekend. Mm-hmm.